This is Matt.
This is Paul.
This is Jacob.
And we are Matt and Manly's Ice Cream Social. You are listening to Seven Land Hand.
It's Seven Land Hand. Brought to you by Good Games Cannington
and Rocky Hand.
It's the Dinner Party Grab Bag Show. What sounds like gangster rappers standing around a barbecue is actually how you, my dear gamer, can communicate with those non-gaming heathens called normal friends. These are the quick games that don't involve losing your keys in a bowl. Small box masterpieces akin to the Mini Cooper, Messi's Last Goal, or Tyrion's Coffin. King of Tokyo, Love Letter and Timeline, all now on Seven Land Hand. So, we're doing three small games today. But also, sadly, we're saying a farewell. In his final show, we're saying Auf Wiedersehen to Riley Evarts. Initially, what we thought to be a bad stain in one of the chairs at Good Games turned out to be one of the loveliest gaming miscreants known to our lands. Riley is literally a mathematical madman. Early this decade, on some kind of academia scam, Riley snuck inside our borders, like a gentleman, and has been researching the mathematical wave up and wave down of our flags ever since. I don't know why he chose Australia to do a PhD in flag-related behaviour. Anyway, jingoism aside, our government, in their stupidity, are bringing these studies to a halt and kicking him out on Monday. I can only imagine he's been sent back to Middle-earth. I like to think that this elevator hit that Riley's elevator pitch would read, with the most recognisable voice on Seven Land Hand, he's made us laugh, cry, but most of all, he made us think. An achievement completed whilst doing the finest Hobbit and Ghostbusters uniform impersonation this side of Rivendell. Today, there is no disclaimer. To eat pizza, drink beer and say goodbye, I have with me today, responsible for the wax seal on any love letter, Justin Edwards.
How you going?
Tokyo Bay's prodigal son, it's Matt McHale.
Hello.
And of course, embossed in all our timelines, it's Riley Evarts. Hello. Sob, sob.
Yep.
All right, gentlemen, now that's over with. How have our weeks in geekdom been? What have you been up to?
Oh, I just wanted to say why I picked Australia. It's because flags flap more here.
Really? It's,
yeah, they flap a lot more in Australia than they do in other countries.
Well, is that to do with our wind conditions, or is it just because we're so more patriotic?
It's the amount of hot air coming out of camera.
Oh, man.
Oh, political. It's a brutal podcast. Oh, man.
Just dropping it. I'd say I'm here all week, but that's not true.
Oh! It's going to be one of those shows.
I'm here all week until Monday. So you fly out of the country on Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
After the pre-release.
Yep.
How many pre-releases are you in for?
Just a two-headed giant.
A two-headed giant.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Your two-headed giant companion is actually living in America now.
I know. It's been it's been a lot harder since Gary went back to America.
Yeah, Gary. Yeah.
It's doable.
It's doable.
One man, two-headed giant.
You had to make a new friend.
It was tough.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Who did you settle on?
Well,
the audition process, I can imagine it was quite tough.
There were a few. I've gone through a couple, I think. So, Reese, I did the last one with, and I think I'm doing this next one with Grace, my two-headed giant partner. Should be good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
Well, I wouldn't approach a two-headed giant with a two-headed spear. That's not my thing.
What have you been up to, Matt?
Where do I start?
Oh, we don't want that kind of attitude. We're here for entertainment.
What's on my table?
What's on your table?
On my table at the moment, I've got Imperial Assault.
Yes.
Yep, I'm on table at the moment.
We've got to get into some of that, don't we? I think it's only a matter of time before we're playing that one as a review.
Well, I'm tweaking the solo rules. And there are no solo
Matt's been
rules.
Tweaking solo rules for years.
A video on a popular website.
Yeah. Ever since he discovered that drawer in his dad's bedroom, he's like, hey, gonna tweak the solo rules from here.
That's it. And I've been doing it ever since. I've got it set out on the table there, and I'm tweaking it because there are no solo rules, so I'm coming up with my own version, which basically just means creating an AI for it.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, for the cards and how the Imperial players move. So, yeah, it's fun. I've got half-painted miniatures on the table.
Are the minis in Imperial Assault requiring painting, are they?
Yeah,
I must have got it confused with the other one that came out at exactly the same time.
I'm thinking Armada?
Yeah, Armada, that's the one.
Yeah, they're all painted, yeah.
Yeah, they look glorious.
So that's what I've been doing on the table.
Yeah.
Out of the table, I've been wanting to get to the pre-release this Sunday. but I think declining health means I'm going to have to pull out.
Right. This pod is full of disease. So. The other night there was myself, Rob, and oh my God, who else came? And Kian was in here, and everyone was sick. And we just staggered through it. Goodness only knows what the last episode sounded like, because I think I edited it sick, and we just threw it out there. It was just like a lame dog getting ready to have its brains blown out at the bottom of the farm. You know, it's just hobbling around there on the internet somewhere. And
well, I tell you what, it made me think, and all that information you gave in the quiz about the origins of the
home planes and
their names, their full names.
Yeah.
I was armed with that information to take into the pre-release because I thought that is the stuff I need to know about how to play. I haven't played
Daros. You might have missed how to play Magic. You don't need to know what the card's called. Even this is like, yeah, just them playing that card.
But it's probably a good thing I'm pulling out. So my
Well, we've got to send someone. We've got Riley in for the two-headed giant. Are you coming down at all, Justin?
I'll come scope, but I can't pick up a card if it doesn't have Innistrad on it.
I'm a bit afraid, but I'm sure I'm going to come down with a pre-release just to do one.
Scope.
I think last time it was I played David Chamberlain. Chunks.
Oh, man.
And he just handed my ass to me in a most horrid way. And I was thinking, I'll just play for fun. And I just got hammered. I thought, I'm never coming back again.
Funny story. I actually played my first competitive sanctioned game of Magic against Chunks. And this is before Good Games time. It was only by a few weeks ago. And I got wrecked. And I was like, that's it. Like, I was really keen. And I had a notepad. And I was doing like match journals. I was like, I fought this grand gentleman, David Chunks Chamberlain, and he had this deck, and he did this on this turn, and I died. And I'm like, and then after that, I was like, I'm not going to write anything ever again.
You must have learned something, though, because within weeks of that moment, I remember the store opening and you winning the Friday Night Magic or something like that.
Yeah, it was after a while.
You were leaving the store going, oh, wait till my girlfriend hears about this. I'm not just some loser that can't play. I can win.
I think I told my dad, and he was like super proud. He's like, good on you, boy.
I'm proud of you, son.
What's this game?
Okay, Dad, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to understand any of it, but consider that I'm really, really proud of myself. Yeah, so, and maybe you should be too.
Sit down, Dad. I got something to tell you.
I got this hexproof deck. It's so good.
Yeah. And I got a Friday Night Magic, what's it called? My promo card.
Yeah, I kept the trophies. I still got them in my binder.
Yeah, but, damn right.
Yeah. This week, dude, has been insane. And I got to put it on blast. I understand, Matt, this is like your time to shine and you got 2 weeks of doing sweet FA, but fuck school holidays. Like, I work in the city. I'm a 9-to-5 guy. And I understand that parents, because they made horrible life decisions, have to get up at like 4:30 in the morning because their kid can't shut the fuck up. And they've got to feed him breakfast at 5:15, you know, like keep him entertained until like, you know, just after 8:30. And that's when we'll pack him up.
How does this affect you and your IT bunker?
And then we'll pack him up and we'll get on the train at 8:30 in the morning.
Commuting time.
Yeah, it's, you know, oh. And why is the train so full? And why don't my two prams fit? And why is like my, you know, why is everyone looking at me weird? Because my kid's screaming on the other side of the fucking train. It's the worst, and everyone's sick.
It's does this interfere with your PC tower that you set up every morning on the train? So you can like, and your gaming tower.
I'm a stander. Like I have to like, because I get on like 2 stops from the city, so it's only like 15 minutes. See, I feel for the Mandra guys, because I'm like fucking out.
Yeah.
But like, I'm standing there for 15 minutes, and there's a kid weaving between my shit. Like, just, you know, like, there's some, you know, like, this pram wheel's like in my leg. This woman's on her phone to like a, you know, misconstrued sister or something. She's like,
you pick up your bag at the station and walk 500 meters and then realize there's a kid in the bag.
Like, yeah, it's like,
and it's just the police like, chasing after you, kidnapping. Yeah.
It's the worst conversation. It's like, I got to take this kid to the dentist, bloody fucking third time in 5 years. And it's like, and like the kid's eating a jam sandwich or like doing something horrible. And it's like, why don't do this? And parents, wait until like 10, get on the train, chill out. And then at 5 o'clock, it's like, all right, I've spent all my doll money or whatever it is you're doing in the city. This is a massive generalization of that, but I'm so mad. And then like,
that's right.
It's
like, mad as hell.
So it's 4:45.
I had to go on the doll just so I could have kids. Yeah. It's just the prerequisite, right?
So I went to the cinema the other day during the day because I figured, who goes to cinema during the day?
School holidays, son.
Yeah, no, it's school holidays. Some parents in the front row with their screaming offspring, too young to understand the film anyways. Ah, why are you here?
Because someone, my wife came to me and said, we should have children. And I said, I've got a good job. Why do I have to lose my job? Yeah, yeah. So I had to go in the next day and go, fuck you, to the boss. That's it. He goes, you're going to get fired. Yeah, I've got to have kids. And so you just, all right, you're fired. Let me go.
That's what's grinding my gears this week. But gaming-wise...
Game-wise are going pretty good.
Come on, man.
Now, game-wise, I come back
home. Take some breaths.
And I've been working a lot of D&D. I've got 2 5th Ed campaigns on the run.
Oh, nice.
So good. It's just like the most solid system. I played a bit of Pathfinder, a little bit of 3.
You've been stocking up on that gear for a while, haven't you?
I'm ready.
You're ready.
What I'm in the market for, and have been for a while, is precision cut D20s.
Right.
So you'll notice with the Chessex dice and like maybe some of the other brands.
Oh, the Chessex scam. Here we go. Not the scam.
I'm not too fazed on the rolls, right? Like,
yeah.
Fair dice are fair dice, but I can't handle tennis ball dice. Like, all the corners on most of the Chessex D20s, sold exclusively at Good Games, are rounded, right? So, and it's just a personal preference. Like, they do the job. The 20 will come up, the 1 will come up, you know, whatever's in between.
Yeah.
But it's the roll. I want that. I want some confirmation on that roll. I don't want it to
You want to hear the clickety clickety clickers of
it. I don't want the dice to think about it. Like, I don't want it to be like floating around the table. I just want to drop it down, rolls with like firm judgment. Like bang, 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 here's your result. And that's what you get on those precision cut mad dog dice. And so I found a couple here at Good Games, Kennington.
Yeah.
In the big chest. And I've got these 2 D20s which you need for 5th ed.
Yeah.
And it's wicked.
What surface are you rolling these dice on?
Now, I got a playmat thrown up by one Liz Nugent,
right?
Which you may think of from Star City Games fame. She drew up all the tokens and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I got in contact with her personally, and I was like, I really like my Ben Hexproof deck.
Gave his fucking spiel about his dice and fucking Chessex not rolling right. She goes, man, you
she
need
She's like,
a
I know, man. I know. I'm totally with you.
Goes, let me illustrate a playmat for you.
She totally did. Please don't it was great. I actually gave her like the most weirdest concept ever. I wanted my deck on the mat, and I played Ban Hexproof, which is Geist of St. Traft.
A ton of enchantments.
Just a ton of enchantments. Yeah. And so Gift of War's over, which is the colourful wings and all these things I'm totally forgetting.
Ethereal Armour,
which
Rancor.
Is a big Rancor, which I didn't actually put in.
And he's the guy that's leaving.
We're totally boned.
In a month's time, we're going to need some serious knowledge.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Please write in your edition letter now, listener. Now, we need you.
I had a Spectral Flight and a Johnny and a bunch of stuff. And I was like, here are these pictures of these cards, but I really like Adventure Time and Pokemon and a bunch of stupid crap. Could you, like, do something? And she totally did. And maybe I'll send you a picture. You can chuck it up on the pod.
Yeah, you should put a picture up on the site.
Yeah,
yeah. Awesome.
But we'll it's a rock solid
the,
map, and that's what I roll
Facebook
on.
Page.
But good times. Gaming, though, D&D and video games for days. The decline is now happening post-E3 because all the stuff's coming out next year or late this year. And this is summer. And not many summer in America, and not many big things come out in summer. So this is the time to catch up. Until
I know, I saw a bikini video the other day, and forget about it.
So it's catch up on your digital stuff and get into some tabletop stuff as well.
Yeah,
but that's been my week.
I've been going wall to wall Batman Arkham Knight.
You have every time I turn my Xbox on, you've been on there. I'm like, oh, David's playing Batman again.
I've absolutely loved that trilogy, and I'm dark. Like the Dark Knight, on many things about the game, the release. You know how I said last time about that the car, you could get the Batmobile, and then due to a manufacturing error, it just got withdrawn. Now, after playing the game, it would have been like, that toy would have been so fucking sweet. I don't care that I was paying $250 for a game which I ended up getting for $87, and then paying the difference just for this Batmobile. I'm there now, you know. If they can just, please, if you're out there listening, just keep work on that car, build it.
I'm sure they are.
Oh, man, it is just so cool.
The thing that got me is they pulled it back because they wanted to give you the highest quality product available.
And then
proceeded to release a PC port, which was fucking broken and had to get off the store. Yeah. And it's like, oh!
Is it Final Fantasy 14? Is it? It's done the same thing now. Yeah. The screen's got pulled, yeah.
Oh, man. The X-Bone... Batman has hung a few times, but that's not really beyond what the Xbox is going to do to you anyway. So, I know the Joker and the writing for the Joker in that game. I mean, you could have had the game, and I don't know if anyone up on the story of this.
Spoiler alert for anyone playing.
All right, spoiler
Batman.
Alert, right?
No.
Fast forward about 15 seconds.
Scarecrow's in it. Scarecrow's in it. Batman gets a little bit gassed early on, which makes him just picture the Joker, who died in the previous episode, previous game.
Hmm.
Joker's with him everywhere.
He's a ghost, right?
Yeah. He's not really a ghost. He's a figment of Bruce Wayne's imagination as he's doing all this stuff. And, man, the writing on that is so funny. And even the writing in not necessarily what the Joker's saying. There's a real visual thing where... I don't want to do too many spoilers.
Yeah.
Someone's getting shot or threatening to shoot themselves, and the Joker passes in front of your view of this, puts two fingers to his head like a gun, and with his other hand does this spray of brains out with the other side and just crosses your line of sight, and it's just comedy gold. And this stuff's happening all the time, and it's really good.
Someone screenshotted it. He saw like a poster off in the distance, and it had the Joker's face on it, and then he looks back, and it's just like a regular poster.
Yeah, there's loads of stuff like that, because you'll go into somewhere, and you're not ready for anyone there, and you'll spin around, the Joker's there going, "Well, bats," you know, and he's like, and he starts talking to you. And they do loads of that. Even if, you know, because in the end, you go in these lifts and you think you can see everything, but in the corner that you can't see, that's where they'll make him appear. And when you turn back, he's there.
That's awesome.
It's just gold. It's really good.
I'm going to have to wait 2 months to play this game now. It sucks.
I was going to say, you know who did that really well? Was a Fear. When Fear came out.
Ooh, that game.
That creeped the shit out of me.
That was a scary game.
Little girls, man.
And it was that exact thing. It was everything in your peripheral vision. It was, there's nothing there. Look up, it's there!
Yeah.
So I think that was the first one that really started to get it right for that the shock value. So, sounds interesting. Pity I'll never be able to partake because I'm not exposed.
It wasn't like jump scares, which a lot of games going for now. It was a bit deeper than that.
Yeah. And just on electronic stuff, I've come to a certain conclusion that I think the battle between consoles need to stop. Just buy them both.
That's the end of the war. Buy them both. They can live peacefully.
They've both got pros, both got cons. They're games machines. They're entertainment units. Just fucking buy them both. Play everything.
I do need something to spend my dollars on before I go back, because they are worthless in the UK. Thank you, exchange rate.
Yeah, we'll take you over to their shopping centre right after this. Sweet. And you can buy us all presents.
Yeah.
Poor Nintendo and all of that. There's only two consoles.
Yeah.
The Wii U's not bad.
So any other important issues of geekdom that we need to touch on before get it off your chest before we move on into the...
Does anyone care about the Spieljars?
Well, you were saying that word before. All right, go.
Yeah, Spieljars. So the...
Explain what this is.
Can we slow that down for the guys at home?
Spieljars. And then there's...
What does that mean in English?
That means the game of the year.
Majority language. I'll view it. Okay.
Game of the year. And then there's the Kenner Spieljars, which is the...
This podcast also available in English.
It's the connoisseur game of the year. And then there's
a real gamer's game, I think, is what the French were trying to say.
There can only be one winner.
the Kinder Spieldesign.
It's got to be a Days of Wonder game.
So that'd be like the chocolate game of the year.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
You unwrap it and out comes a game.
So it comes in an egg-shaped box.
Or it's a children's game of the year. So anyway.
Oh, right on.
So the game of the year, the Spieldesign winner.
Isn't it great that now we interpret the German word for children as chocolate?
Some sort of chocolate sweet thing.
Which came first? I'm sure the chocolate came first.
Children. No, chocolate. Right.
So the winner of the game of the year was the Colt Express, which is a Western meeple romp on a train. Very nice.
Fucking meeples. Don't get me started on meeples. I've been won over one too many times this year by meeples.
Meeples on those trains, man.
Thank you very much.
8:30 in the morning, guys.
Are you putting them out or picking them up?
You're knocking them off trains and shooting them and things like that.
Wow.
It's a very tactile game.
Hmm. Dexterity.
Dexterity.
It's a dexterity game?
Not for magic
players. No, it's not really a dexterity game. It's tactile in that you've got to pick pieces up and I think that's pretty much most games.
Tactile, you can see, you rub them up, you feel them, you stroke them against your cheek and go, ooh, that side's rough.
The train is actually a cardboard train. And there are cacti and things like that.
I'm down with that.
Oh, cacti.
Real trains.
The next train game.
Oh, don't get me started on that.
So
I've done my train game reviews for life. That's it. We're done.
What was that called? The occult
Cult Express. Yeah, by Ludnot Games.
Oh, there you go. So that was the winner overall.
That was the overall winner.
Oh, that's
for 2015?
For 2015. It beat out Machikoro.
I forgot the thrust of Matt's conversation was, and it was to announce the winners of. Okay. Yeah. So there's another one.
Yeah, the Connoisseur game, which is the Kennerspiel Bizarre.
So it's just the Gamers Game of the Year?
Yeah. Right. That's what it sounds like to me. It was called Broom Service, and it's by Ravensburger. Who are popular
they make
puzzles.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't really know of Ravensburger as a game designer. But
I've seen Ravensburger on a few things.
That took out the Connoisseur game. And then the children's game of the year was Spinderella.
Right.
I've no idea what that's about. Broom Service was quite interesting.
Informative segment.
The designers are Andreas Pelikan and
he's a mathematical madman.
Pfister.
Hey, Alexander Pfister!
With a P.
Hey, Mr. Pfister.
It's the P silent.
Yeah.
Hey, Pfister.
So there we go.
Tune in next week, listener.
Yeah.
So that's the spiel wrap up. We'll have to wait till next year.
Right.
All right.
Cold Express looks like something I'd play.
Man, that does sound like something I'd play as well.
Sounds pretty good, yeah.
Shame you won't be in a country to play it, Raddy.
Shut up, man.
Maybe you can go buy it in the UK.
Hey, if puns
are half the price.
Send it to us.
If puns are coming good in the gaming awards, it's only a matter of time before a Seven Land Hand intro wins the Spiel du Jour. I can imagine.
Spiel de shit and fuck.
Spiel de shit. This is my spiel de shit.
At that point, have we made it? Or have we failed?
Where do we get the Q7s? That's what I'm about.
All right, screw this. Let's do some games reviews.
All right,
that's just about as many burps and pieces of pizza we can stuff down our faces. Oh, and we weren't stuffing burps down our faces, by the way.
That'd be pretty cool.
That came out awkward.
Although Riley did lean across the table.
Yeah. All right. Enough behind the scenes talk. You know, we don't want that fourth wall to come down. So today what we're doing, what the ethos of today was to get some of those games that you can haul out of your cupboard and play when you've got, like, we call it like the dinner party grab bag. These are the games that can get people that aren't necessarily gamers, that are a bit afraid of your gaming catalog, and sort of ease them into it a little bit. You know, so some of them have got some themes that we're familiar with. Some of them are nice, easy to get. They're not too deep on instructions and, you know, hard to pick up.
So what you're saying is that these are your mama's games?
Not quite. I'd like to think they're a bit beyond...
What sort of games my mum plays?
They're a bit beyond what you would pick up in Target. A bit more interesting than that.
Yeah.
I like to think of them as first course King of Tokyo, second course Arkham Horror. So you say, let's play Timeline. They go, wow, this is great. I had people say, let's play Timeline. They go, wow, I thought your games were really complex. This was really good fun. And then in the back of my mind, I want to go, great, let's sit down for 8 hours and play Arkham Horror.
Yeah, let's whip out Talisman and see what happens.
Now you're feeling confident. But it's just to get your non-gamer friends into playing some of the games that we all know and love and that good quality stuff. Because it blows my mind that the people out there that won't give these games a trial. You know, if it's not, you know, something that they've heard of, it's not Balderdash or Monopoly or any of those bog-standard games we're all sick of that they sell at Target and Kmart. They won't give any of these a chance. So, speaking of greed, there's an element of greed in the first game we've got here.
The other bit is if you've boiled down your entire social circle to a group of just hardcore gamers that want to do this all the time, maybe you want to take a night off.
Yeah.
Maybe not get too hardcore. Maybe not get
casual, good drinking games.
No, not even too competitive. And maybe you're sick of like Cards Against Humanity because you're all twisted beyond that. And there's crack out games.
We definitely had fun with all three of these games.
I think so. Yeah.
And they were super easy to pick up. And one of them was like Love Letter, which we'll do third. Wasn't on my radar at all because it was called Love Letter.
Yeah.
And absolutely friggin' loved it.
Solid.
Yeah, it's solid. So the first game that we're talking about is King of Tokyo.
Yes.
Designed by...
Monster name.
By, what's it?
Dickie Garfield.
Dickie Garfield.
Like we're on like first name basis.
Yeah.
Like, Rich. He's
a young upstart in the game design world. Richard Garfield, for those of you who don't know, did Magic.
Yeah.
Or G. Not like this new stuff.
lesser known game called Madden.
So we'll try to stick to the usual format of objective narrative components, how to play expansions, what do we think. But I mean, some of these games don't really have a narrative, but King of Tokyo, I think, ticks all the boxes. So what's the objective of King of Tokyo?
All right. So you're a giant monster on a rampage.
That's the objective. That's Be a giant monster.
Be a giant monster. No. Emulate all your kaiju fantasies and be Godzilla or be King Kong or be...
Is that... No.
Pacific Rim Man is to
play. Yeah. Or tropes of that nature. And the aim of the game is to earn as many victory points by defeating your enemies.
Or survive longer than anyone else.
You've got to make it to 20 victory points to win, or just be the last man standing, which is more often than not how the game ends.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that I don't have any real love for games that have player elimination, and where if it happens really quickly, then you're left twiddling your thumbs until the end of the game. But I found myself swayed slightly because I was somewhat...
Because you were just so masterful at it, and you never got knocked out early.
Actually, I was pretty good, I have to say. Yeah.
Look, that is about the only negative of this game that, for me, is... I mean, we're getting straight ahead to what do you think. If you do get knocked out early... and the other players go long, which can be 15, 20 minutes, you're kind of sitting around doing nothing. But it is engrossing and fun because of the narrative being... It's just like one of those crazy Japanese horror, big monster movies barnstorming over Tokyo.
Yeah, basically. So what happens is everybody gets a monster and they're all different. They're all double-ups. Having said they're all different, they are all the same, really. It's just how they look that's different.
It's just for things.
It's a bad image. No,
I think we need to introduce the cast here.
The cast.
You got
who's involved?
All right. So
who's trying to be King of Tokyo?
Do you want to do this, Justin? Do you want to introduce?
Yeah, man. I'll shred this up.
Yeah, Justin's alive.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, welcome to the Megadome of Tokyo. No. Anyway, so
and the lesser known Tokyo Bay.
That's it. Which is only a small fraction of this game, unfortunately. So you've got this, mecha character, and this is all shown off by... You've got a card in front of you, which has the picture of your sweet monster dude, and you've got a stand-up cardboard, which stands in the center of Tokyo or whatever. All look badass, all look really cool. And you've got a mecha dragon, that's M-E-K-A, dragon. Obviously, it's just a dragon made of steel. You've got the alienoid, which is, half crab, mostly alien. It's got three eyes.
Dome head.
The king of Tokyo, also known as my boy, he's a giant ape, King Kong, but he's got a sweet cybernetic eye and some form of implant. Which
What's he called?
Yeah, really it's called cool. The King.
Oh, he's called The King. Oh, okay.
The King, Elvis.
As if you had to ask.
And he's a boss. And then you got Kraken, which is self-explanatory.
Yeah, nearest thing to Cthulhu in the game.
Is it Kraken or Kraken?
Kraken.
No.
Kraken.
We don't come here for knowledge, Justin.
Come on, lit boy. What do you got? You got Gigazor, which is your clear knockoff of Reptar from Rugrats, also known as Godzilla.
Godzilla,
yep. And you got Cyber Bunny, which I guess is...
Godzilla.
It's a little rabbit in a massive mech suit.
Yeah, with a sword and stuff.
It's only a matter of time before rabbits take over the world.
Yeah, so that's, six in total, and the game is for 2 to 6 people over the age of 8. Says the box.
So we all qualify.
And this game takes half an hour to finish.
We were very stringent about the ages and made sure.
We made sure,
But that's one of the cool things I've found playing with the kids. Kids are all over this game, right? So it's really good fun because they see the characters and they're just that's what I want to do. I want to go barnstorm into Tokyo and I want to kill all you dudes. And it's just very...
It's bright and colourful and it's all it's all easy to see what's going on.
It's your favourite. It's your favourite Saturday morning cartoon.
So Matt, whose kids are a little bit too young at the moment, who was a bit down on this game initially, is going to friggin' love this game. Yep. Come there when they hit 6, 7, 8, they're going to be going, let's play King of Tokyo, Dad.
I've already got Cam flinging coconuts into cups. So, it's not long before.
Well, that doesn't relate to any game.
No,
that's just what you do.
Get out the back, boy. Stop flinging.
Flinging them coconuts, boy.
Yeah, he's making coconut milk business.
A few different elements in this game. We've got, the six characters outlined, they're embodied in the card on the ground and the big figure in the middle. And a game we played before, which tried out King of Tokyo, was Zombie Dice. Mm.
Yeah.
And you've almost got a bit of that in this with the, six dice?
Yeah, I think the six dice, and each side has a different value to it.
Yeah, but so you can... You roll the dice on your turn, and you can do damage, gain life, gain energy, which you use to buy things.
Yeah.
Or then you can roll the numbers 1 to 3, which just translate to victory points, maybe.
If you get three of them.
Yeah, if you get, yeah, if you get the right combination come up. Yeah.
So I'm sure somewhere in the write-up for this, it's a push your luck... dice rolling.
Yeah.
There's definitely that mechanic to it.
You roll all six to start off. Sometimes if you've got a card that might give you an extra die roll or one less, whatever, you pick all six up, give them a roll, and you're not committed to any of those dice. If the gods of dice are favourable, then, you know, you might want to keep them all if you've got a really good roll, or you might want to keep none of them, or you might want to keep... One or two of them, and try to press your luck to get matching sets, or you know, let's say you want more,
or just hit out a big punch, or get a lot of power. Because what's power good for, Riley?
That's how you kill people, David.
No, that's the claw.
The energy.
Yeah.
So you get these little cubes when you roll a lightning bolt symbol on the dice, and there's a stack of cards by the map of Tokyo, which is another beautiful piece of the game. And their items or abilities always enhance your... I don't want to say hero.
Like mods, aren't
villain,
they?
Your monster, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd be like
your
an extra
potential
tail
king.
Or like nukes or something. And they give you more things you can do on your turn. Or ways to get out of taking damage or do more damage.
So we'll have a look at a couple of them?
Just give us a flavour of them, Matt.
So we've got a 5 energy, so it costs 5 energy to purchase this card. Called Death from Above, and it's a discard card which gives you +2 victory points and take control of Tokyo if you don't already control it. So if you want to get into Tokyo but you don't want to necessarily do the combat involved, you play that card and then automatically you're in there. But that you discard that card, so it's gone.
So the five energy is obviously you can accrue it after turn. You collect according to your rolls. Power, and that's the money that you can buy the card.
Yep.
And then what else do we have on that card that it said?
It was
a few different components there.
Earn +2 victory points. So it's the star symbol. So
yeah, so if you're going for that 20 point victory point win, then bang, you can get 2 for that.
The only difference is if you go the combat route and you go into Tokyo City, you get awarded with...
You get one for going in, and then 2 for surviving each turn that comes around.
So you can go the combat route and destroy your enemies and get into that way, but it's a slower way to
I think the victory point's just for inevitability, really, so the game will end.
That's exactly what it is.
It's just a clock on the game.
So it's really, otherwise, it's just a big fist fight.
Yeah.
There's for 6 energy, there's an acid attack, which is a keeper. The difference between the keeper and the discard is, unlike the discard, you get rid of it. The keeper, you keep it. Put it down in front of you, and it's until somebody takes it away or you die, it stays out and active. Deal 1 extra damage each turn, even when you don't otherwise attack. So that's you get 1 damage dealt to your enemies single turn.
Yeah.
Okay, so what the main mechanic of this, obviously, when you set up, you've got Tokyo on a little square in the middle of the table. Everyone's outside of Tokyo. The first person that does damage or rolls a claw goes in. And then from then on, there's a situation where everybody in the city, the guy in the city does damage to everyone outside, but everyone outside just has their own pop at the person in the city.
Yep.
And the key, once you've taken too much, is that you can yield. If someone does hurts you, you can then swap places and get out of Tokyo, and then they have to go in.
Yeah, because you can't heal when you're in Tokyo.
And that's the key, yeah. So you can't just get into Tokyo, stay there.
About getting into Tokyo, there's no one starts there initially into the city, but if you are the person who goes first and you roll the claw mark and you decide to keep it, you must go into Tokyo City, so it's compulsory movement. But then the yielding is a voluntary mechanic. So if you're in Tokyo and you're happy with getting or copping a beating every turn or dishing out damage, you stay there and there's no compulsion to go out. So the only reason why you might go out is if you're starting to hurt because you can't heal yourself or you're...
And it gets sweaty because, you know, you get down... If you've only got 1 health point, you're in Tokyo, the only way out is death because you can only yield if you've taken damage.
I don't know if you mentioned you start with 10
start with 10
points,
life.
10 life.
Yeah. And, 10 life, yeah.
Yeah. So once that 10 life is gone, and it's a fluctuating, so it goes up and down, up and down.
If yeah, you're outside of Tokyo.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so you get 2 victory points if you start your turn in Tokyo, which is what lends inevitability to the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's for... Tokyo City is for the...
5 players or more. Tokyo City is... Well, it's always in play. Yeah. And it's the Bay of Tokyo. Bay, you get right. It's five or six. Yeah.
Expansion. Which, and then as soon as the players drop below a certain... drop below that 5...
Yeah. Then Tokyo exists.
Then Tokyo Bay is destroyed and it's just Tokyo City again. So, I think that's all the components. It's very simple. Oh, there are tokens.
We've never used them.
Yeah, poison, and there's another type.
Oh, there's 3 or 4 different tokens that go with the cards that you buy with your...
I don't think we've ever used them. We never really... Buying the cards never seemed like too big of a part of the game.
No,
really.
It's more about dishing it out, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've definitely used them. Like, some of them...
Oh, sometimes.
Yeah, like, some of them are like little counters as far as, like, you can do this 3 times, basically. So each time you do it, you remove a counter and chuck it in the box, so you need it for that.
So the counters are smoke, mimic, shrink, and poison. They're the 4 different types of counters.
And they've got special cards that go on each one.
Yeah, let you do each thing.
Yeah. So, quick wrap. So, King of Tokyo, you've got up to 6 monsters that want to take on Tokyo and rule it. Now, get the right to smash it up, right? So you each compete for the title of owning Tokyo, but it's all about finding a balance between dishing out damage to everyone else at the table while you can't heal, or trying to take Tokyo or stay out of Tokyo by not rolling claws. And I think we're making it sound a little bit more complicated than it actually is.
It's one of those games you play, you know, you set it all up, you play, and about by the second person's turn, you know how to play this game.
Everybody's got it by then.
Yeah.
So, I guess we'll stick with, like, the dinner theme. How palatable is this game? Like, how easy is it to sort of put down, and how easy is it to feed to people? Just be like, this is how this game's going to run.
I'm using the measure of my... Travis was playing it when he was 9, and my daughter's in... My daughter enjoys looking at it and being alongside of it. She's 5, so that's too young.
Right.
But then this is the critical one. My wife's friends
enjoy
the game.
That's a winner.
They get excited by it. That's wife's friends, which is a tough crowd.
I mean, they're not even your friends.
No, they're definitely not. I couldn't spend time with them. Unless I was playing King of Tokyo.
There you go. Well, to me, that's a solid measure. If you can put this down, teach them once, and they enjoy it, that's a rock-solid game, in my opinion. And it is a rock-solid game. I love playing it. I role-play it a bit. I get the sweet ape, and I get to, like, bust down cities and pound my chest and stuff.
It's good. It's a really good game, and it is very simple.
Super quick to get into. Super quick. It's not something you're going to get your gamer friends around and you're just going to want to bust out game after game after game, unless you're doing some serious drugs or something. I don't know what, you know.
Sure. That's the downside that I found now, having played it. I didn't really rate it, but now having played it, I do quite like it. But the downside is that replayability. I don't know if I could sit through multiple sittings of this. It's something that I'd have to take off the shelf. Every couple of months, maybe.
I maintain it's who you're with. Yeah. Because we all played it for the first time together, just on a whim. You know, we'd played, I think it was at XCOM weeks or something like that. We didn't have enough time to play XCOM again. Let's play King of Tokyo. So we did it. And we're all like, oh, okay, well, that was that game. And then I sort of took it away and I played it with the family. And it was around the house for a bit. And, I found that instead of sitting around just having a stupid chat with just whoever was over about nothing, I was playing a game and I was like, this is great fun. So I was getting other people involved. And then I realized that my son could play. And all of a sudden I was like, this is the value of King of Tokyo. And I was looking at the box at the time, which says something like Family Game of the Year or...
Best family game stuff.
There's a bunch of accolades.
Yeah, it got Kids Game of the Year or something like that.
The Dice Tower accolades.
Yeah, and I thought, that's where this is marketed at. We played it like hardcore gamers, just coming straight out of a game of XCOM. Yeah. It had no chance, but it's who you're playing it with, I think.
Right, it's just casual enough, you can have a conversation over the game.
Yeah.
It's fine, and the turns are really quick. It doesn't take long.
And it's all about beating the crap out of each other, you know. So it's pretty obvious. It's straightforward, isn't it?
And the manual was really good.
The what?
The instructions for the game. Yeah. Really good. Yeah. It's like 2 pages, and it's got everything you'd need in it, including some really useful game examples, which helped a lot.
Yeah. Have you got expansions going over there, Matt? Are you digging up?
I will dig
them out for us.
I will,
because there's quite a few. And
the other thing I wanted to say was, I don't know if we touched on it, was with the dice mechanic. So you get three rolls. So you roll it once, and then you decide to re-roll. You can roll one, none.
It's like two re-rolls.
Yeah, and then two re-rolls. But then you're stuck with whatever is.
Yeah, when you finish, you're stuck with whatever you get.
So, and that's a very quick mechanic, because you're forced to make choices very quickly. And then, you know, if you're pushing for the... I think you had a great car combo where you were trying to get like a...
Yes. Out. Well, that's what we were talking about. You know, I was talking earlier when we mentioned greed. It was essentially greed. You got a dice with six alternatives on the side in the game Greed that you might have played over your grandma's place a million years ago. They can spell out greed dollar or something like that.
Yeah.
On this, if you get a combination of everything on a particular card, you know, you can get nine victory points or something like that. So that was a weird game in itself, just for an anecdote on playing. Yeah. I basically removed myself from the game, tried to go for that. Meanwhile, everyone beat the crap out of each other and ignored me because I was no threat. And then when I was nowhere near getting my victory points, I looked up and there was one person left who was about to beat the crap out of me and had no health points. So I just swung a fist and killed him and won.
That was right.
It is a bit of a go for broke.
Yeah.
Mm. If the cards are against you, then you've got nothing to lose. You might as well go.
It's the pushy luck thing is fun. It's like gambling for cheap, isn't it? You know, you just like, oh, push it, and you either win everything or you lose
it. Someone, I think it might have even been me, made the comment that, If this was in a casino, I'd be there. I'd be playing this in a casino.
Yeah,
if I gambled,
money on the line.
Money on
like gambling for kids. Good kids. Games 2015.
Craps.
Yeah, you go. That's our stance. Good way to get your kids into gambling. Yeah, that's what we're saying. Well done, Richard.
King of roulette.
Yeah.
But really colourful. Good put together thing. The dice are really chunky. Energy cubes look cool. All the cards are really well presented. And, really engaging.
Expansions. As Dave mentioned, there are a slew of them. There's some of them are just promos that were put out that are available from the Geek store on Board Game Geek. Others are more established expansions. So there's the Power Up expansion, which is a box expansion for the original set. Then there's Halloween. There's Garfield's gift promo card, which is Richard Garfield, not... Just in case anyone's confused.
Yeah. Lasagna?
Promo card, spray your enemies with lasagna. Promo cards, and then there's a Horde promo card. So there are.
What's the panda one?
The panda one?
That's Power Up, is it?
There's a picture that's of Panda. Kung Fu Panda. Basically.
Then there's another standalone game.
There's a re-implementation of it called King of New York.
New York, yeah. Which the map looks way more complicated. There's a lot more stuff going on, and I don't know if he's just leveled up the game to make it more suitable for us gamers.
And more of a gamer's game.
More of a gamer's game. Thank you, Days of Wonder.
So the
never giving an interview to us on anyone.
The Power Up expansion includes some evolution cards, which is a new mechanic. Some extra counters to facilitate that. And then there's the Panda Kai monster. So there's only one new monster and a rulebook that introduces the new mechanics. But so that's all that one adds. It's just a small box expansion. If you think about it, it's kind of like the Smash Up expansions that come out, where they introduce four new decks to the base game, if anyone plays Smash Up. You know what? I rate this. I actually rate King of Tokyo along with Smash Up.
Whoa. That'd be cool. That's a big. Massive. That yeah. big. Coming from yeah. Matt, you heard it.
I don't know
what it meant, but it sounded like it was important.
I don't know what it means either, but
concrete.
I know how Matt talks.
Is there a queen of Tokyo just to keep it balanced?
No.
Oh, well.
Richard Garfield, massive misogynist.
Yeah, clearly.
I was going to say, if we're set in San Francisco, maybe.
The Alpha release, there was no female characters.
Yeah, Alpha male, son?
Yeah, there you go.
Get them.
No, that's not true.
The King of New York expansion comes with another six monsters. I haven't got a list of what they are.
Let's not go somewhere we don't know about. Maybe we'll bring King of New York back one week and we'll get that. That next cool. dinner
it's
party
a
grab bag.
Implementation. So, which means that they've kept some of the things that were working, maybe introduced a new mechanic or two, gave it a new setting.
Cool. Yeah. Let's blob and do a bit of timeline.
No right on.
It's timeline. All the way through the break, I was trying to think of a timeline song. Couldn't do it. Anyone? No. All I got was an old Motown song. I went, forever. forever. And I hate that song. And it's got nothing to do with timeline, but it has forever in it.
And just the Doctor Who theme just keeps coming to mind.
Yeah.
What about Europe? Final Countdown. No?
No. Anyway, timeline's a game.
Yeah.
Worst intro ever. Right. What have we got? This one's real super simple. Components. Let's just jump straight into components because there's no, the objective of the game is to get rid of your cards. You get four. You want to get rid of them.
Yep.
Components. What's in the box?
Well.
Because there is no narrative.
There is no narrative. You get. Well, I don't know. There's not really a narrative. You're attempting
to. There's a theme.
There is a theme, which is trying to recreate a timeline. You're basically showing how intelligent you are in this game. So the components, you get a deck of cards, which are double-sided.
Yeah.
So whenever you shuffle, you've got to sort of shuffle it out of sight or under the table. On one side of the card shows an invention or an event or something like that, depending on the theme of the deck.
A point in history.
And then on the reverse side is that same point in history, but with a little bit more information, as in when that point in history occurred.
Yeah. So
one side is undated, the other side, the reverse side, which is the hidden side, is dated. Now, when everybody gets four cards,
yeah,
as you said, and there's a central card, which is, I guess...
The starter card. Yeah.
And that's face up, so you know when that event occurred, and then it's your job to try and decide whether it preceded or... What's the other word for preceded? Going the opposite direction? Memory blank.
Superseded.
No, I think that means
replaced. No. Anyway.
Isn't it just preceded or proceeded?
So something happened. The first card out happened in 1900. To the right of that, you want to put cards that happened in the future of that. And on the other side, on the left-hand side, you want to put cards that preceded that.
Yep.
And the more cards that go out, the more complex it gets because your little windows become more narrow.
Yes.
Now, that's the extent of this game.
Yeah,
but
it basically covers all of it.
It covers all of it. But, man, it's fun. It just, you know, I don't want to talk. I was singing the praises of King of Tokyo, but this is another good game that I just love getting out. I take this, because of the price of it, I take this around instead of a bottle of wine these days. You know, you go around someone's house for a dinner party.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is a game called Timeline. We're going to be playing this tonight. We'll play this, and you get to keep it afterwards, you know? It's like, I think it's a really good fun game that anyone can get into.
Yeah, well, this is such a good game that they've it's produced by Asmodee.
Yeah.
And so it's had multilingual releases. So it's all around the world in Russian, Chinese.
Loads of expansions,
yes, which we'll talk about some of them.
You can smoosh together, you can just have a big timeline pile.
Yeah. It seems like there's been a spate of expansions recently, which we'll have a look at.
Probably due to a success, I'd imagine, because, you know, if diversity was covering everything,
yeah,
we don't need to print anymore, this is sucking badly, this is done. Yeah. But yeah, they're pumping them out.
Do you think they intentionally left some history out? Or is there just so much history that they
The other question would be, have they jammed all history into
all
the...
Of history
is all of history recorded within Timeline?
Did anyone look at and see what the highest, the most recent card was?
No, I was wondering about that.
No.
I think it goes back, and we're talking goes back biblical, it goes back caveman, goes back Stone Age.
That was the best segment. I fought off the urge to sit down and go through every single card and just look and go, I found a 28, 2008. No, there was an Eminem one that was a release of one of his albums or something like 2008 in the music and cinema one. But no,
I was just laughing because you asked that question as if you knew the answer. Yes. I was like, this is Matt's thing. This is what Matt does.
Yeah. No, I didn't know the answer. Matt will know this, but that'll spoil it.
I'd fallen in like a too much pizza coma, and I was actually taking it seriously, like, wow, that's a heavy question,
man.
It's
deep, man.
And
I realized, super deep.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No, let's break this down for the listener, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's how it goes.
Bring some sense to this, Justin.
You're onto that real hot bitty Jane.
What?
Right? This is how it is. And you're like, man, she's totally fine. I loved, like, get to know her a bit better.
Yeah.
Maybe, but you guys aren't. You guys got common friends, but
this is a real life scenario here.
You got you got some common friends, but no real reason to invite her over for some like timeline, right? But you think she's digging on this Jake guy.
Yeah,
and this Jake guy's an idiot.
So
he always thinks he's smarter than everybody.
What's our name in this scenario?
Johnny and Jill,
yeah,
man.
Here's Johnny and Jill. And Jake is
a
competition.
So Jake's just like a total tossbot, right? He thinks he's super smart.
I hate Jake.
I was talking about maths and shit.
Yeah.
Thinking he's hella smart.
Flags and stuff.
So you're like, fuck this guy, right? So you invite all your common friends over, and you're like, get into some cheese, get into some like guacamole.
Is that a euphemism?
We're talking like a set menu, you know, you put out all those stuffs.
Yeah.
And then when it gets time, right, you whip out the timeline.
Right.
You dump it on the table and you're like, let's play. And Jake sucks ass at it.
Because he's
hell
stupid.
Stupid, right?
Yeah.
It's like, when was the invention of the fork? Clearly before the knife. You know, whatever. And you're like, chops. And then he's totally wrong. You're like, nah, sorry, Jake. Here's another card, son.
Shut up,
and
man.
And you sat down on the weekend and memorized them all.
I'm Jake in this scenario. Bullshit. Yeah. What are you doing?
He's just rippling this deck.
Man.
It's like,
you've
dude,
missed
you're totally
Jake
losing.
Is so hot.
And yeah,
well.
She's like super. She was super kind of in this guy. But now she's like, what a dummy.
And she's got a PhD in history. So she's laughing this up. She's going, oh, man.
She's like, what a piece. And then you get to sit back and reap in all these like mad dog timeline brownie points.
If you want to pick up history girls, this is the way to do it. Or guys, whatever.
Yeah.
If you want to impress people that love history, timeline.
But no, it's super easy. Like there is no rules. It's like we're just tell me when it happened.
Yeah.
Did it happen before the invention of the wheel, or after the invention of the hairdryer, or something like that?
The only time this game screws up is when you hand the cards out and they pick them up and look at the other side.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's it. And you just go, you can't look at the other side. They put it back and
you
give them a new card.
And you're just like, give me that card. And I was like, oh, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't have to admit to that, Justin.
I was really bad
at this
game.
That is the dumb guy move in this. All right, so because it's so simple, we can go deep on the strategy for this game.
So strategy.
This is educational.
Okay, pro tips, fellas. What have we got?
Sheep were domesticated before cows.
No, those are answers. I'm looking for pro tips.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got four cards, one of them is slightly difficult, try and get it out early.
Yeah. Do that one first. Keep all the obvious ones, like domestication of cattle.
Feel
or like...
Game.
Yeah, keep it for the end.
First man on the moon.
Easy,
you know, something that you
of.
Know 100%, save it to the end. Mm. Look at the pickup pile. If the card on the top is dead easy and you've got something that you're skeptical about, have a punt, but then you go grab that card and that can go into your hand next and then you're away.
I like the use, look at the card art. There, the card art has subtle clues.
Yeah.
You've got to know what you're looking at, I guess. But
if it's a caveman painting it on a wall, or if it's a man in a fancy grey wig, you know there's roughly where you're heading.
Yeah, so it can give you clues. Not all of them are as clear cut. I did come across many which, you know, a bit of a grey area. But then they're the ones that are particularly difficult, and they, unless you actually know that period in history, or
we don't want to give the game away, you just write it on the wall in the background.
use Cicada, that's my tip.
Yeah.
My tip is no confidence required. If you're confident trying to play this game, you're going to look like a dummy every time. So you're like, no, don't worry about it, guys. You know, like, sheep are totally domesticated after cows. Bam, bam. You just
isn't
look
that
like
a pro tip on life, though?
I
suck at this.
It's like, yeah.
If you're going to be confident, you should probably have a reason for being confident.
Yeah, exactly right. It's like...
Jill's already kissed you on the cheek before you came into the rooms.
I'm not saying go to a job interview and don't be confident, because that's like the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
But when you're playing timeline, maybe drop the ego.
Right,
like,
yeah. You don't want to smash people.
Everybody gets surprised playing timeline.
Yeah,
it's silly. Comes out. Like,
it's
just
definitely
ridiculous.
A man flew an aeroplane before... You know, steam engines or whatever, and it's like, just get messed up every time.
Talk about the categories.
Inventions.
The invention, yes.
Oh, the different expansions.
Yes. Well, not necessarily, because diversity covers most of them.
Mm.
It's a real cross section of all the expansion, of history in general. But there are some more specific ones. So,
but they are kind of like expansions, because you can buy them and either play
expand
them separately to diversity, or you can mix them all together. It doesn't really matter.
I don't know if you'd end up with double ups that way.
I don't think so, because I think diversity came out first. I don't think there's... I haven't seen...
I'm not sure.
This is a fact-checking podcast.
Somebody check it.
I think there are enough events and things in history to avoid double ups.
I think Riley's nailed it there,
There's discoveries. So there's discoveries, there's historical events, there's inventions, there's music and cinema, there's sport, and most recently there's Americana and American history.
America. Oh, we could probably forget those last three.
See, they're ones
America.
I wouldn't... Having said that, I did a... When I was watching Friends last week... Did I tell this on the last one?
Maybe not. God, no.
Anyway,
when I was watching Friends last week.
I was doing the challenge. Ross was set the challenge to name all the states of the US, all 52 of them.
Right.
52?
50
of them.
52. Yeah, Seven Land Hand, your anyway. Friends recap show.
Yeah, because it's a Simpsons quote.
I decided to do it, and I got to about 38. So I consider myself that if I was to throw in the American history or the Americana timelines into my game, I think I could be reasonably confident.
Which of the four episodes of Friends was it? Because there are only four. There's Ross has Ross has the monkey. Yeah. Ross and Rachel are together. Ross and Rachel are apart. Monica and Chandler are together. Those are the only four episodes in Friends. He's nailed it.
All four of them.
Yeah. You watched all four episodes.
I watched all four.
Yes, yeah. That's ridiculous.
So there you go. So I think I'd be fairly confident if I was to pop in one of those other ones. And if it is like you say, the history is so broad.
So there you go, listener. You'll know when Matt's feeling confident.
Americana.
He's just watched Friends.
he's just watched Friends.
And he's going to tell you about it. And that's when you should get out of there.
In the spirit of fact checking, there is 50 stars on the US flag. There are 52 weeks in a year.
And so to get those things confused.
Yeah. Yeah. We got another 50 stat. A stat with 50. I've stretched too far, haven't I, Justin?
At some point, we'll all reach that age.
He's already put Google down.
How many countries in the United Kingdom?
Well, you know what?
Counties?
I read
counties?
Somewhere
oh, gosh.
That it was Guam, I think. Was
you mean Guam, the hair metal band?
No, for Guam, the country that was vying for membership into the US. It's like Alaska and Hawaii, but that might have been bullshit. I don't know.
They're a state, but not recognized as one. So they have no rights in America. They are not considered American citizens, but they can be drafted into the army and will serve in the military forces, but get none of the benefits of doing that. So
it really sucks.
Yeah.
After Googling 50, I got 50 Shades of Grey.
Hey!
And there 50 Cent. Which you can find in the club.
Everyone knows that's
Fitty. That's only because you Google those things a lot.
Damn. Yeah. My weakness.
I think we can stray from timeline because...
50 Land Hand.
It's that easy.
50 Shades of Land Hand.
It's that easy.
Something like that.
Yeah, timeline. Go get it.
It's Super Sims.
It's really
Super
fun. Sims. Pretty fun. Really cheap.
If you want to teach people stuff... If you actually want to take this into...
No, there's only one person in this room who wants to teach people stuff, and that would be the teacher.
That's not me, you or Riley. Or an upper primary classroom, and teach them about history, this is the tool to do it. Because this is rote memory, it's about critical
friend thinking. Of mine's wife is a teacher. She bought a ton of these sets. Yeah. She uses them in class because it's fun, and it just teaches you times and moments in history.
And it's one of those sort of like, oh, I never knew that sort of... games.
Yeah. You learn something new every time you play it.
And people are like, oh, is that true? And then maybe you'll Google it and
like, wow, I had
maybe
no
you guys
idea.
Will like share Facebook deets.
Yeah. Thank
you.
Maybe
you'll notice that
party.
She's in a complicated thing with Jake and you'll be like, yes.
Yeah, Jill.
It's complicated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's this model of how they did Trivial Pursuit where they, instead of coming up with a question and then putting the answer on the side, they came up with an answer that everybody would know. And then think of an interesting way of posing a question to that.
Yeah.
Timeline is a super simplified way down of that because when you flip it over, it's a year. It's a number you go, oh, I've heard of that year. I know roughly what we're talking about here.
I wasn't there, but we're past then, so I assume it happened.
So nothing is going to scare you about this. It's not. They're not asking for something that you've got no chance of doing. You can jag the right answer.
And everyone's going to
look out for the
mess it up.
Future timeline.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The only grievance, right?
Terminator Genesis.
Is the maths that they use. So I'm not numbers focused. I don't use that side of the brain, right? I'm just Roger Ramsey. I'd others get in there and get things done. Now, when it comes to like the negative numbers, on the bottom, I go, I told you to
all the
right.
BC stuff.
I was like, 300, and it's like, well, no, it's negative 300. You have to like pull the other way, and I was like,
we're overcomplicating it now. It's so easy,
easy. It's a lot of fun.
I felt silly, man.
And this is the game that's going to be in the special. So listen to Neats and Twos. And,
you can get this cheap.
Yeah. Don't give too much away. We've got to say, you've got people who have got to listen.
That's awesome. Right. I want a copy.
Neats and Twos is more about timeline. You can get bundles of these copies. Take them to a wine instead of wine. Anyway.
Fits in a metal box.
Ooh.
Matt's quiz.
Matt's quiz. Party time. Excellent.
Matt's quiz.
I love it. It was built up. I love it.
Can you believe we came up with that concept during the blob?
Oh, isn't that amazing?
Good.
Genius.
This is the level in which we think. I'm going to push that level in which you think.
Oh, shit. Beers every podcast.
I've gone for a slightly different format for this quiz this week because in keeping with the theme, table game, dinner games, light, quick, I decided to
come up with the most complex quiz concept ever designed by man.
Listen for the rules and particularly addendments and appendices 3 through 507.
I need to do a handstand.
No. This is called Name That Game.
Name That Game.
There's only 4 questions, but the way it works is you don't actually need to write anything down.
Ooh.
I'll be the one writing the stuff down.
Oh. All right.
And it works in a game, one of those quiz situations where you bump in with your name or you bump in with the answer.
Oh, can we get a buzzer? All right. Can we make up
what
a buzzer?
Your name, whatever you make, make up whatever buzzer.
Oh, man,
I'm
going to make the best noise.
Cool. There we go. All right. So,
no, it doesn't.
As long as you do that quickly.
So, oh, no.
All right. So each, I've got 4 questions. 4 questions. I've got 4 games. Each game has 7 clues to that game. All right.
7.
And there's a sliding. Yeah, that's my thing. And there's a sliding scale of points.
So we've got to guess the game.
Yeah, based on the clues.
All right.
All right. And the clues come with points. So if somebody gets it high up, then you get 7 points. If nobody gets it until the last clue,
can you just buzz in early and start naming every game?
Yeah, absolutely.
And name every game that you've ever thought in
your... Possibly can, but then your friends are going to fucking hit you.
Does the name have to be correct? Or can we just give it a name? Like, I would like to call this game...
No, it has to be correct. I've got answers.
Okay.
So this game is now list every game that you know as quickly as you possibly can. Ignore Matt.
I thought really hard about the clues, okay? It's nice and simple. All right,
Matt, so put effort in, boys.
Let's play.
All right.
Let's play that game.
Guys, before we start, let's try and play it in the spirit with which it was written. Instead of fucking
super
it up.
Serious?
This is a fun game. Play it with your friends at home.
Matt,
the first one, name that game.
Yeah.
The first clue, I have a 3-dimensional board. All right. I'll give you a bit of thinking time. Anyone wants to buzz in can buzz in.
Jenga.
You know what it is.
Sorry, David.
Are there limits to how many times we can buzz in? Maybe that would be a good idea to control David.
Yeah. Two. You get two.
Two what? Two buzzers.
Two buzzers.
Oh, I didn't say anything. I was totally quiet.
Two buzzers.
Right. I'll edit that out.
So you get two buzzers. All right. So I have a 3-dimensional board. Anyone can buzz in whenever they want.
Oh, I don't now.
Okay. And if you don't get it, I'm crossing it off. That point's gone.
Right. Yeah.
You need to build
such a punitive
before
you game.
Play.
Oh,
Justin.
Is it Mousetrap?
No.
Mousetrap.
One buzz left.
Hang on. Are these good games? Are these just shitty sort of anything game? Any game ever written made?
No. These are what we sell out there.
We'd be excited by.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Would there be games that we know?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
All right, I wouldn't do that to you.
You would.
Yeah, maybe I would. Okay.
You have to build it before.
I am a dexterity game.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
No. I have a metric shit ton of meeples. No.
5 tribes.
You figuratively knock out your opponent's teeth.
This isn't a game of the BX. I don't know.
I was recently renamed for copyright.
If he says spill de jeux again, I'm out. I'm buzzing out.
Now, this last one is like 1 point.
Oh, this is the last one.
Yeah.
1 point. Yeah. This is the easy clue.
Can I get it? Because I actually guess.
Rampaging monsters is my theme.
Smash Up. David. I'd never played Smash Up before.
No,
I don't know.
Anyone?
Rampaging.
Jesus. I thought this was really easy.
Here goes.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you play a lot of games, Matt.
No points there. It's Terror in Meeple City, formerly called Rampage. Oh, God.
I thought you said there were games we'd played.
It's out there on the shelf. All right.
Rampage is a movie game coming out with The Rock in it.
Yeah, now you're talking.
It's going to be rad.
All right, let's
get it.
It's going
to be shit.
The Rock rules.
It's like the Goosebumps film with Jack
Black. It was like Rampage was like a Commodore 64 game or an Amiga game or something like that when I played it last.
Super rad. Crush building.
Chime in.
Question two. This in the spirit with which it was intended.
Question two, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, name that game.
Peace, brother.
I am a historical themed board game.
Yeah,
just
well.
Chime in. There's like 7 of them.
So I know, but we can buzz in twice. I don't want to blow my load.
Justin, 7 wonders?
Not 7 wonders.
I'd love it if you'd have nailed it because someone would have to sit through the other 6 clues.
My designer is Richard Borg.
Oh, the Borg. Hang on, historical. Oh, right. Yeah,
7-1 would have been perfect.
It's going to be one of those really fucking dull-looking games ones. That are really high strategy, but, you know, brilliant games, but the box on it just makes you look like, oh, God, God damn.
And all these games are purchasable in...
I am not a miniatures game, although minis are a major component. Historical game, Richard Borg designer, miniatures game... Not a miniatures game, although there are lots of minis. All
right,
fine.
Not a miniatures game, although there's lots of minis.
I am based on the Commands and Colors game system.
Justin. This is my second and final guess. Axis and Allies.
Incorrect.
Oh! Well, we were counting on you, Justin.
I was just published just by me Days and you, of Raleigh. Wonder.
Oh, this is a gamer's game.
it's not Five Tribes.
Nope, not Five Tribes.
Pirate's Cove. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, 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 oh. Buzzing in. It's the green box. It's... Oh, shit. What's that called?
Oh, it's the green one with the thing.
Players give orders.
The guy in the front. I've never played this. Yeah.
Players give orders to specific zones with order cards.
I know what this looks like. It's...
My backdrop is the Second World War.
Oh, yeah. Come on, it must be Axis and Allies.
No, no, I know what this is called, but obviously I don't, but I'm sure it's got a guy in the front and it's kind of like a greenish...
With stuff in the box.
You're doubting my... Is it a year? No, it's not a year, that's the 9-1-4.
All right, it's Memoir 44.
There you go.
It does have a guy on the front.
I was just about to say that.
I could picture it in my head except for the bit with the word with the name of the game.
Thought these were really easy. All right.
Yeah, let's
name that game.
Games that we've
Question
never
number three.
Before, know nothing about.
They're out there. Name that game. I was published in 2012, but my origins are in the mid 90s.
Right. Rough.
Yeah.
I am an asymmetrical card game.
I can't remember the 90s.
Players are thematically opposed.
90s. That's when Soundgarden and Pearl Jam and Nirvana.
What is asymmetrical?
Yeah, what does asymmetrical mean?
Right, you got this.
Asymmetrical means.
I know what it means.
God, I'm not a CCG.
At least what it's not.
So narrow, man.
But can you imagine, like,
I was developed by Richard Garfield.
King of Tokyo. Oh,
fucking. Expansions come in data packs.
Netrunner. Buzz.
I said Netrunner.
I buzzed.
Oh, fuck. I didn't buzz.
Yeah, and the last clue was I'm set in the Android universe. It was...
Netrunner.
I guess, David,
I didn't buzz.
No. Neither did Riley.
I don't want to score a point in this quiz.
All right,
we'll give it to
Solidarity, brother.
Holy shit.
Is it still nil-all? We're all drawing going to this last one.
We're giving Riley...
Riley, you suck, man.
I'm keeping the score.
Goody two-shoes Riley over here. Scoring in the quiz.
Your points, hog.
No,
ready to lay down.
Thankfully, this is the last one.
Question four.
Name that game.
Yeah.
I won the Kennerspiel des Azars.
Oh, he said it. He fucking said it. Table flip.
I'm done.
I'd flip this table, but there's just too much beer and pizza.
So that's the connoisseur's game of the year. I'm listening, guys.
In what year?
I don't feel too bad going back to the UK now.
2011.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it.
This is our gift to Riley to make it in the country.
My primary mechanic is card development.
Hard development.
Just head shaking.
I was designed by Antoine Bowser. Man, call yourselves a gaming podcast. All right.
I don't know if we've ever gone that far.
That
would just be presumptuous.
Three ages.
Is it
Seven Wonders?
You gonna buzz in?
Yes, buzz.
What's the answer?
It's Seven Wonders.
It's Seven Wonders.
Oh, I'm so good at this game.
Clues where my theme is the ancient world. Victory can be attained by peaceful development or military might, and the Colossus of Rhodes is one.
We came up with
that
a theme tune for that.
We wasted that theme. We'll do it next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Matt McCow with a stellar effort.
That was great.
Yeah.
Stellar, as always.
Maybe
I shot for the stars and then
just a moonshot.
Just
moonshot days.
All right, well, we're going to finish on a high because it's a love letter after this, which was the big winner of the three. And so, blob, eh? Okay, Matt just threatened us with the second part of the quiz, so we need love letter real quick.
Let's move on. Yeah,
love letter. Oh my god,
love letter, man, heck of a game. But
this one... is the surprise. This is the surprise one because I think Justin, you and I, we've both been in the same place, right? We've been wandering around just being gamely. And someone has said, scamming it up, and someone said, hey, let's play Love Letter. What, really?
Like, listen, buddy. It's like, not that time for me, or then, maybe not
look,
for you.
I love that you feel that way, and I'm all for your people, man. I'm glad you can get married and all that sort of shit, but yeah, no, not today. Not for me. I'm just a bag of shit. You don't want to get involved with me. It's like, no. I don't even think I'd be a good gay man, you know? I'm tidy. I can keep a house tidy, but...
That's
oh
about
my
it.
God,
that's where
yeah.
the skill ends.
But then, yeah, you spend... I even get sick of myself, you know? I spend an hour with myself and just with my thoughts. I'm sick of me. You don't want to be near me, man. So, love letter? No, don't worry about it. Right. Don't worry about it, man.
Keep it.
So, like... Yeah, I'll give you a hug. You want a hug?
Oh, it's
just a hug.
It's a game? Oh, okay.
It's what? It's a game.
It's a game.
It's a game. He's holding this, like, embossed velvet bag.
I'm feeling a bit lonely, though. I still mind a hug. No, how did it go down for you, Justin?
That's just a bit... Not that deep anyway, man.
Didn't? Oh, man.
I just sort of
that was a weird afternoon for me when
Much
that happened.
The disappointment of the guy. Yeah.
Straight up. But show of hands around the table, even though you can't see them.
Show of hands, yeah, it's still a visual.
Has anyone here ever given or received a love letter?
I've written one.
Love letter. Like,
I've written one.
So not a text message, no. Not an email, just... Straight up pen to paper.
I can guarantee that I've never received one.
See?
Oh, I'm out of this round.
Yeah. Just done?
Yeah.
Written one, but burned it as soon as I read it back. And I was, it's the most pathetic thing I've ever read.
You're not supposed to read them back, man. You just write this stuff down.
You can't, because that's
the
decision.
You're
going to
get the feels out. You're like, baby. you got an S. Oh, yeah, you know, he's
right. Hang on, you've got an ass. You can't just say the second line, be like, baby, all right, open up sensitively. You've got an ass. Oh, no, I'm out.
I'm done.
You
know,
are you talking like an acrostic poem?
No. Oh, right. 23 letters. It's
like a limerick. You're right,
If I'd sent that letter and it had been read, I would have had to have killed myself or left the country and maybe that's why.
Oh, is that why you're here, Riley? Wow.
I'm convinced that I would have put something down on paper at some point in time, and it would have been overly emotional and like really heart bleedingly sickening. Yeah. But I doubt I've actually
would never let anyone read it.
Pressed the big red button and launched it across the Atlantic. You know, I don't
fair enough. Yeah. That's because like that's the whole premise of this game is that you're writing a love letter to the princess of.
You've got lofty aspirations, haven't you?
You've written it. You've written the love letter, and now you have to manipulate your way through the court get it to the princess.
I've written a love letter too.
Your mind's better though.
Oh no, the way Matt's looking at you now, Riley.
It's all coming out.
Watch out.
So mine rhymes. We're all suitors. Yeah.
All suitors. Suiting up.
Yep.
I've got my tie. I've got my suit.
We'll go.
And she got an ass that won't quit, and I've written it down. And when
she shows it to her dad, he's going to go, man, you should go out with that guy.
I
do have an ass that doesn't quit. You better move out now.
You've got to go.
Living at home with your parents is going to be uncomfortable for the next 20 years.
Oh, man. These are all Simpsons quotes. Like, that's where I've learned all my romance from. It's just yellow cartoons. So
we're courting.
Courting.
We're courting.
Back to the game.
But we can't just go to a post office and ship this thing. We need to send it through, you know, the underhanded, like, eyes of the court. So we've got a few roles in play. We've got some guards. We got, you know, the town priest. We got the prince, which is a bit weird because I figure you wouldn't want that guy seeing your mash note to
his would-be. I like to think that he's her brother.
Oh, Snap City, okay.
I like to think that he's that guy that we used to argue was better or worse than Michael Jackson all the way through the 80s. But I did end up singing, you know, like, how do doves cry? As I'm playing the game, I'm going, no, it's not that prince. No,
given some royalty, though, brother says it wouldn't stop.
Hey, sis. You know, this guy gave me this letter. Yeah.
Wanted me to give this to you. I don't know.
It's kind of wet.
I tried to open it. It's just all stuck together.
See, there was... all right, cool.
It's not a dirty game.
Well, that princess has kind of fallen out a bit, you know.
The dirty game. I'd like to see an expansion, what comes next after Love Letter. Anyway.
Rat,
avoiding the school run.
But, so,
talking about roles.
The child years.
Talking about roles. So, like I said, there's a few key components, and we've got in the OG version, what is it?
The Kanai Factory Limited Edition.
Kanai, also limited ed.
The game itself was written by, was developed by Seiji Kanai, so this is his personal limited edition version.
Right on. Yeah. And so he's got soldiers, the edition we played, which is the original, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
They were guards. We've got clowns in the Kanai version. We've got knights, priestesses, wizards, generals, ministers, and of course the princess. So the way this game works is you've got a deck of those cards. You draw out as many players as you can. I believe this is... How many players, Max Riley? What are you saying?
Four.
Four is the maximum players.
Cool.
Four. Oh, right. We're playing max.
Yeah. So you take your deck.
I do recall, like, you know, the leftover cards in the middle of the table is remarkably small. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you take, we'll get a card each, and you take one out of the deck altogether. And no one's allowed to know what that card is, because this goes into the metagaming aspect of it.
Yeah.
But all you have to do is look at the card that you've got and do what it says.
Yep.
Every turn you draw one, so whenever it's your turn, you've got two cards. You need to play one of them. Excuse me. All that beer and pizza. And you play one of the cards, you do what it says, but the aim is to be the last man standing so you can hand over the mash note, get the biddy, get the biddy, go home, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And every time you're successful in securing the note and getting your feelings across to the princess, she gives affection.
You're rewarded by a little red cube.
Yeah.
A token of affection.
You get a token of affection. Now, we've got a few editions here. We've got the Kanai, we've had the original, and we've got the Batman edition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold the phone, Batty Man. And the token of affection in the Batman is Batman symbols. The token of affection in the OG is red cubes. What's in the Kanai?
It's still red cubes.
More red cubes.
More red cubes.
Red cubes clearly being... The
international symbol of affection.
I know, whenever I date a girl, that's what I look for.
Wooden red cubes.
I gave my wife a red cube. Yeah.
How many red cubes have you got? Three. Oh, I'm looking for a four or five type of guy.
I'm a four or five kind of guy.
So you guys have been like buying gold and rubies and stuff?
No, you're driving a hot car and it's all like pimped out. It's like, no, she's just after the red cubes, man.
There are only 18 cards in the deck.
18.
So
that's what I'm talking about.
This game is extremely quick fire. The reason why this is so good at a sit down is, like we said, the game plays itself. All you need to do is read the card and make a decision, and it goes really quick. The reason why it's four is someone has to win four in a row, which is pretty rough.
To
get four, but you can't really do that in a row, is what I'm saying. You have to be extremely lucky, or everyone else is a dummy.
Well, there are certain things in place, like the way you're supposed to deal that out is the person who won the token is the person that deals out the next hand, but that's not the person that goes first. So, or is it the other way around? They actually deal them out and then they go first.
I was still panicking about the quiz earlier, Matt, so I missed everything you just said.
I was worried it was part two. It's really good. It's really easy to play. It is literally just you draw a card, pick one of them in your hand, put it on the table, and do what it says.
But you can, in doing that, though, you can target different people when the card says you can.
So some of the cards let you interact with other people's cards.
Yeah. And you can, and in doing that, you can kind of take a stab at who might have what card because of what's already been played or what's left out.
Yeah. And that's where Riley excelled at this, because it is a math game. And when we played this, Riley had his pen and paper out, and because he's a chump, and just started, well, that's over there, so that means that this must be remaining, and the probability of this being still there is 12 or whatever.
Yeah, and like you played this last time, and that's not the card that you drew.
Yeah.
So,
pretty much. And
I misspoke, and I want to correct it now. There are 16 cards in the deck.
Right.
Because
on.
In the Kanai version, there's actually two promos, which is an extra princess and an extra prince.
Right.
So you can sub out whichever one you want.
Cuties. I see what's up.
Whatever you want to play.
So you deal out four, and then everyone picks up one.
Yeah.
So that's already half the deck gone.
So the game goes in rounds, and whoever wins the round gets one of these red cubes.
That's it.
And to win a round, you either knock everyone else out of the round by manipulating the cards or other people getting unlucky. Or if it comes down to two people at the end of the round, you compare how much your cards are worth. And the card which is closest to the princess
By number value.
By number value. Or in rank. Because it goes in court rank.
Because, yeah, we're doing hierarchy, old school, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, if you have the prince is obviously closer to the princess than a soldier would be. So the guy with the prince wins.
Filthy, commoner soldier guy.
And the mechanic in doing that that really appeals is what we said that was the bad part of King of Tokyo getting knocked out and staying out is that a round happens really quick.
Oh, yeah.
You totally sucked
just
in
gets
it.
Faster and faster.
And, and you didn't achieve anything. Well, you're not out. You just wrap up, shuffle the cards, and you're into the next round, and you're not out. You're just vying for, you know, so even if you're 4 zip down, you can still start scoring points.
And you can still try and figure out what else, like, what other people have and stuff. You can still try and figure out the game. And it's very fast.
Right on. And it's portable. Some editions come with a sweet little sack.
Well, the Tempest version.
It's the dinner party grab bag.
Totally.
Some people, the subtitle for this show would be the Beach House grab bag, and this would be something you just throw in your travel case, luggage.
See, this is really hard for us because we don't go anywhere.
I'm going to the UK.
I'm going to the beach. I'm going to get my sun cream.
Whenever I go to the beach to go surfing,
I mean, I like to live life on the edge.
Outdoor activities. No, but,
like, say you're going on. I mean, I tried to do a magic league when I was traveling. Ugh. Much easier just to throw Timeline or Love Letter in your bag and just play that on a train. You know when you're going from point A to point B and you've got no interest in looking out the window and learning anything about the culture around you, you'd just rather be playing a game.
Yeah.
That's what these games are for.
Didn't you have a family trip down south with another family?
Yeah, that's right.
So
that's
how this fit in?
Brilliant. Yeah. They loved it. And these guys were not gamers. So I did what the brief is, introduce people who are not formally gamers to something quick, as something that's easy, energetic, easy to learn.
Social, because you're interacting with people all of the time.
And the theme isn't too removed as well. Yeah,
And has no long-lasting player elimination.
Psychological damage. Oh, sorry, yes.
And it's really quick, and you don't have to wait till you get to 4 cubes. You can just stop whenever you want or keep playing. Yeah, who cares? It's
very strangely addictive, isn't it? I mean, for being very love letter phobic when we start and thinking, all right, I'm just going to sit this through. It was just like, let us just keep playing this whole night. Yeah.
So the card overview themselves. So there are 8 categories of cards. Princess is 8. The soldier, the lowest, is 1, is the lowest rank. And then everything in between. Now, on the card themselves, you get a little bit of information, which is quite intuitive. The first thing is it tells you the name of the card and its rank. So if it's the priestess, for example, it's 4. It also tells you how many copies of that card there are in the deck, which is very important information, and for the number crunches, so you can look and see how many are left in the deck. So you can see if there are 2, for instance, the princess, there's only 1 in the game. If there's the general, there's only 1. If it's the priestess, there's 2. If it's the soldier, there's 5. So when you start to see those out, you can start to do the math and count out how many have been revealed. And then there's the card effect. So, and that's it. That's the information you need. That's all right there on the card. You need to look over the rule book once, really, to get the gist of it, and then it comes with a card reference, which is very useful. It tells you what all the cards do. All the cards tell you what they do on them, but then the card reference
clarifies it a little bit.
And instructions are really good. So the card reference is what you have in front of you, and it's really handy. But the instruction booklet itself has lots of information about the cards specifically and what happens in any scenario that might come up, and it's already condensed and easy to find.
1 or 2 turns and everybody knows what they're doing, so you know, usual sort of thing. You know, if there's a real newbie playing, then they can be the 4th player and they'll know exactly what to do by the time it comes around to them. It's
and
not
for when we played this, that was you, Dave. Like, you were sitting at the end of this table and you're like, man, what, come on,
what's going on?
I was feeling a bit frazzled on the day, and I was thinking, oh man, learn new games, all that sort of stuff. And
you were just like, all right, slam. Let's get this bitty.
Yeah.
There are some slight rule differences between versions. I'm having a look at the Kanai version now, and from what I know of the Tempest version and the standard version, card effects are a little bit different.
Can you get this Kanna version anymore, though? Or is that just like Kickstarter?
No, AEG put it out.
Yeah.
With a grab bag. I don't know if it's still available, but you probably can. I don't know how limited it is. So there are slight variations from version to version. And when we talk about Batman Love Letter, that's going to
what's the
really
expansions?
Apparent.
Yeah,
expansions. So there's, as we said, Batman Love Letter. Then there's also The Hobbit Battle of the Five Armies.
Riley!
I'll be in there.
And there's also Adventure Time. Now, all of these three versions came out in the last 12 months, so they're all very new.
Is it just branding?
It's just branding.
Yeah, it's just branding, right?
Yeah, it's just different pictures on the same cards. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Having said that, it's not entirely, as I said, with different rule mechanics for different versions, it just means that some of the cards themselves, that personality has a different effect on the game.
Oh, right on.
I wish I wish we had the Tempest version so I could see the difference between...
I hate Shakespeare. I just can't keep up.
The difference between... in the Tempest version, if you had the Contessa,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
you and then if in your hand you revealed two different other cards, and I think it was the
if you had the general something like that, yeah.
then you had to discard the Contessa. You were forced
that's
to.
Right.
Now in the Kanai version, there isn't that version. There isn't that rule. It's the minister. If your hand is 12 or more, your two cards combined to 12 or more, you're out of the round. So there's a slight variation, which offers a lot of replayability.
That was the thing I always felt. I didn't know if we were getting right was when we had the princess and the... What was the one just below that?
The countess.
The countess. Yeah, you had those two. It lampoons you and you're out, basically. I wasn't so confident that we had that right
at
the time.
This is the version that came after. I think that's been corrected in it because they've changed the abilities on those cards.
Yeah.
Because it is a bit lame. Because with the Countess, you can just lose by drawing a card and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, but, to me...
But, I mean, it's pretty cool because there's some random
element. To me, that's flavor. Like, shielders happen. Like, you're trying to get your note across, some bad one can happen. Oh, I got caught out,
The Batman version doesn't get rid of that, so it actually includes the Contessa ability in the form of Harlequin. Discard if caught with Two-Face or Poison Ivy.
Okay.
So maybe it did exist.
Yeah, all right.
So maybe just a reference for those at home, we played the Red Velvet original...
Yeah, the original one.
Yeah. So that's the Tempest one, is it?
It's like, okay. Because that's how we roll. We're kind of old school boys, aren't we?
Something like that, man.
It's the one with the raunchy art.
The art was pretty raunch.
The art I like more than the art in this one. I think this one's a bit
more busty wenches.
More anime.
This one's a bit too anime for me.
Hang on, which one are you talking about with the anime? It's not Batman.
This one that we've got here. Have you not seen it?
It's old Japanese block print art.
Yeah.
Oh, like the Japanese plate type of art, that sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Oh, no. God.
It's really affordable. It's
really good fun.
Yeah, really, really good fun.
Yeah,
and it's super easy. And four people, you want to break down some walls, play some games, play Love Letter.
It's fun and interactive. Good way to get to know people. Cause it's really easy. You know?
Yeah, and there's a bit of meta stuff, and you can sort of be like, saw what you did there, like sneaky stuff.
You can game it if you like, but you don't have to.
And that's why I think it's so broad spectrum. Like,
there's an appeal in feeling like you can figure out what everyone's got, and you can call them on it and get there first, and it feels very doable.
Yeah, and people feel good about that, and it makes you want to play even more rounds.
Yeah, no, this is on the... I'm getting this game immediately just so that I can say it in appropriate times that I have a game called Love Letter.
Yeah, well, that's how someone got me.
Love Letter Batman.
Would you like a love letter with me?
So I want to talk about the Batman one because it does change certain elements of the game. Now, Arkham Asylum has been breached, as it seems to always get. It must be the worst designed prison in the world.
It's not a prison. You're not doing anything for mental health.
Okay. Oh. It's the worst designed.
Color the mentally unwell badly. So asylum, prison, same thing. Right? Sorry, you're going, sorry.
So all the card effects are the same. However, the hierarchy starts with Batman at number one, the lowest version of the card.
No.
And then goes up to the Joker, number eight. So the theme of the Batman version is your Batman and
trying to get a love letter to
round up the criminals who have escaped. So that's the whole premise of the game, is you're capturing these dangerous criminals by earning bat tokens, and unlike getting the four, you need to get seven, but you get them a little bit differently. Every time you knock someone out, you get a bat token.
Okay.
So that's a little bit different. So rather than rewarding you at the end of the round for being the last man standing, you get a reward for knocking people out of the game.
Do you get rewarded if you knock yourself out?
Ah. Go out with a flash.
Yeah, I think you do, actually.
That is really weird.
I don't know. Well, actually, that's a good question.
Thank you.
Do you want to look it up?
No.
We're going to have a new facts check segment coming up. All right. Are there any other games, any other expansions on this, or any other themes of the game that we haven't touched on?
There's no expansion per se, just themes.
I think those themes exist to sort of, you know, with that initial love letter thing that we got. Hey, yeah. I want to play this Adventure Time game. Everyone's like, damn, son, Adventure Time rules. Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, man, got this total sweet Batman game. Yes. All right, let's play that. So, love letter, buy it.
Leads and twos.
Leads and twos.
All right, let's kick this bastard into touch. Neats and twos. So pretty much this neats and twos is all going to be about. People have been writing in whilst the show has been happening, just to say farewell to Riley. So before we all burst into tears and dilute our beers, the next line of the limerick?
Yeah, keep it right.
Are you composing a love letter?
Dave, good games, Dave, has written and he said, Riley, he arrived on the day we opened. His leave will be the doom. Us all. He's leaving, or will doom us all.
Taxi was pretty bad.
Riley, he arrived on the day we opened. His leaving will doom us all. It's pretty heavy, isn't it?
Yeah. I have spent a lot of money in this shop.
What's happening?
Yes. It's possible.
You're keeping good games afloat. That's very. But you said earlier on that you might be back in February sometime.
Yeah, hopefully. I need a job if anyone's hiring.
Yeah. What are we hiring? A mechanical engineer?
Preferably, pretty much. And in Perth. Or FIFA, I do that, but
FIFA? Here.
I thought you said FIFA then.
That's
FIFA.
Game.
I don't know what
FIFA.
Going
FIFA.
Yeah,
I can play.
Looking for upper management now.
That was a soccer joke. Nice.
Sepp Blatter. Riley is Sepp Blatter. Someone called Aaron Graham.
He's got one of our mics.
He's what?
Has he got one of our mics?
No, he's actually returned them all. There's no Easter egg with Aaron pleading down the telephone. So Aaron's written in and said, still recording, only just finished up dinner. So, you know, it's always about Aaron. So once we've waded through that part, he says, good luck to Riley in whichever endeavours he chooses. He's handsome and knowledgeable and wise. Has he met you?
We've
crossed paths. Lovely sentiments. And
Aaron.
Rob, who's just the other side of this door, but working feverishly within the store.
Not on Facebook.
He said,
he's multitasking.
He said, Neats, my loved him directly from the next room. So he's going to, so maybe when you get out there, he'll Neats his love to you in front of the customers. Yeah. And that's probably what he'll be aiming for. Anyway, that's getting rich. He's going to what?
A token of perfection waiting for him.
Yeah, a whole bag full of red cubes coming Riley's way. All right, so keeping on the theme of that, I think we can't do any better than having the password being Riley. How's that? Password for this month.
What does that get you?
Riley, you go into Good Games, Cannington, and I think probably Rockingham as well it works out. You say Riley, you buy timeline, you get a second timeline, $5 off. So you can start your collection and build that library of historical cards immediately.
Can we say that maybe you have to say it three times looking into a mirror and then hopefully he'll reappear? Riley. And there he is like a genie in a bottle.
Have we got a mirror?
He'll probably just, Tony Abbott will just get really upset and just bust him like for breaking visa or something.
I'm not doing that.
All right, so next fortnight we'll be back with Seven Land Hand Extra, which is going to be the other side of Magic Origins, a title I'm having trouble with. It's not Morrigans.
You can call it whatever you want.
You missed out on several outtakes the Seven Land Hand Extra guys had to put up with me saying Morrigans over and over and over again. I did about four intro takes. Anyway, Seven Land Hand Extra, Magic Focus podcast. We'll be talking about how Magic Origins has unfolded in what we got pre-released this weekend.
Yep.
And, when this podcast comes out, it'll be the... God, well, I don't even know where we are now. When's this coming out? A week on Monday?
Week on Monday.
Oh, so we'll be deep into Magic Origins by then.
Yep.
All right. So that was it. That was Riley.
That's it.
Wow. Well, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks.
And
it's been all right.
Shall we applaud? What about a group hug?
Maybe we can go around the table and each tell Riley. I'm not joking. I'm pretty beat.
No, I agree. I was thinking the same thing as you, Justin. I was thinking of my memory. I mean, I don't have huge memories of Riley, but he's always been around since...
Huge.
And I've been around since the store opened as well. So, and this is where I first met Riley. So, and I think if from memory, I think it was playing Magic.
Probably. Yeah.
So as an opponent. So, and out of that, he's just a really stand-up dude and had a lot of Magic knowledge. And I think you were getting just back into it then. You had a bit of an absence from it.
Yeah.
And getting back into it. So it was nice because you were able to give me some advice on what to play and that sort of thing. So, yeah, some solid deck building information, which I've ignored, and I'm totally shit at it now. But so I should have listened. So that's my memory of Riley.
Like, you ain't dead, but London's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, it's, I'm never really planning on going there.
That's harsh.
There's a GP.
There's a GP. No, but I got involved with Riley through this podcast, and maybe I've seen him at the store. I'm a mad front desk cleaner. But like between rounds of Magic and stuff, I'm the front desk guy. I'll talk to Dave, or I'll just chat around, or like look at singles, or muck around. And Riley ran shop for a while, so it was cool seeing him work. And I worked on this podcast, man. I think you bring in an accent that people can actually understand, and it's gonna be a tough chair to fill.
That was me.
Going to be a tough chair to fill, I think.
I think that's the thing. I think Riley is the only person who has been spotted outside of the pod as in, hey, your voice, you the guy from Seven Land Hand.
He's like,
right?
Yeah, man.
I've had that. Yeah. It's pretty fun.
But no, so, 10 out of 10, King would bend the knee to.
All right.
So.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. We'll blob and do the outro. We're more farewells to Riley, I'm imagining. But, well, yeah.
I'd just like to thank the
Riley,
what? Sitting around the table, and Justin for adding a lot to this podcast each week, each fortnight, and we'll move on.
Not easily,
No, no, he's gone now. We can.
He's gone now. Yeah. He's dead to us.
I'm out of the door.
It had to happen.
I'll get you back in February.
Yeah, hopefully.
I'd like to thank David, my co-host, for keeping the buttons pressed into the right position, making sure the record button is on, and to David,
most of the time.
To Dave and Good Games, Cannington and Rockingham.
To a lesser extent. Yeah.
For giving us somewhere
for
to
congregate. Paying
for
Riley's beer and pizza off today.
Yeah. And talk shit each time. Now, I just want to leave us with Love Letter as the theme and the alternate versions. What can we see adding to Love Letter to make this the game that everybody wants?
Alternate game titles,
or alternate
Bonk script.
Bonk script.
Bonk script.
I'd like to think like
Banglish.
Instead of like, so you think you can dance, so you think you can bang. And it's just like
Banglish.
my penis rules.
He's getting out dirty, this guy.
Just
talking about dicks. All right.
I was thinking of other themes. So, prison.
Cleaning up.
Love letter, prison outbreak, or prison.
Seven-line hand, love letter.
Yeah. How would that work? What would you be competing for now? The little blue cubes. Who would be what?
Who would be the eight?
Who would be the princess?
clearly, Aaron.
Clearly, Aaron.
Yeah, so alternative versions, like maybe like Can Love Blossom on the Battlefield, the Metal Gear Solid version of Love Letter. That'd be rad. That'd be super sick. Other versions, maybe we've got Adventure Time, maybe like some other cartoons, The Simpsons, which I've heavily quoted.
not on air though. I think it was behind. It was off mic.
I don't know, I think I got it.
Oh, someone's in there.
So,
yeah. Beer
too
fast.
It's got to be just like a bar-themed one. Just like...
The really drunk chick, number eight. She's nine.
Beer goblin is the thing.
I'm barring up. Don't let this letter go to waste.
No. Token of affection's just like $2 fangins. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. I just bought a $2 condom from the machine in the toilets and, it was $2.
It expires tomorrow.
Yeah, you put it together.